of the Morro Bay Community Promotions Committee. We are missing Tracy and Dan. Dan will come running in. We do have a forum. Public comment. We have an audience member who will speak later, so we'll move on to committee announcements. Janice.
Yes, I just want to say that we had a very successful bird festival. The weather couldn't have been any better if we had special ordered it. And I just wanted to comment that we had some of our people stayed at La Serena and the Embarcadero Inn. We want to thank them for giving us a break on those. And also Carla's Country Kitchen was kind enough to open at 5:30 specifically for our birders. We didn't know if it would work, but it did. She had regular patrons who not only came for breakfast but came back for lunch. So that was really nice, and I just wanted to thank her for doing that because it really helped us at that hour of the morning. There's nothing else open. So it was delightful, and I really appreciate all the volunteers and especially the Audubon leaders who contribute their time. Nobody gets paid on that, and they do a really good job. Lost Isle, subsea tours, we took boat trips with both of them, and then we also took boat trips with Patriot Sport Fishing, and the orcas swam along with one of the boats. Three of them. So it was really not only birds, but lots of nature loving people, and it was very successful. So thank you to everybody that helped.
Thanks, Janice. Oh, Dan showed up just so everybody in TV land knows. I told you if we started the film, he'd come. And do you have any announcements, Bill?
If you haven't noticed the new sign out on highway,
the billboard, yes.
New billboard. I think it looks great. I think we all did a good job.
I agree. Yeah. It looks terrific. Ed.
No, I don't have anything this morning.
Dan. Oh, my gosh, we're all so good. Moving right along. We have two sets of minutes to approve, October 20th and December 15th. Let's start with the October one, since those are the ones we're behind on. Any adjustments, corrections, comments on the October minutes? No? Do I have a motion to approve? Janice moves.
Second.
Bill, all in favor?
Aye.
On to the December 15th minutes. Any comments, corrections?
A little typo, I think.
Good morning. I passed out the most current budget that we have, and I know that we are scheduled to have a budget review, and I would imagine that's with the budget subcommittee, so we can probably set that up after this meeting, at which point we will do a budget versus actual so that we can see exactly where we are 6 months in and make any adjustments from that point forward. So we're doing well. We're absolutely on track. We've basically accomplished most of the artwork and production part of the budget for this year, because once any ads that are going to come after this point are generally reworking the creative that's already been done. So we're in good shape there. And media is in full swing in a number, print, broadcast, a mobile app in the Central Valley. We are on their weather app starting January 24th, and I think we've got a good campaign going.
Can I just ask, I see in very fine print you do list rack card and light pole banners. Is that under collateral? Is that where you threw it in? Okay. Anybody have questions, comments, concerns? Give you a minute to look at it.
I was wondering if you could just detail the creative 1890, what that was.
It was in
December.
For December, yeah, sorry.
December. Part of that was for the Yahoo campaign that we launched. That was a three-screen banner ad that we'll continue to use throughout the year. Part of it was for the Travel 50 and Beyond ad that went in January and will appear again in April. And I can definitely, I think that's what we need to do at the budget review, is look at the details, because it's hard to fit it into this deal, but we can look at exactly. Basically, it's the artwork in production for any of the online and the print ads that were happening during December.
Any other questions? Okay. Thanks, Sherry. Website subcommittee report.
We
interior pages that were sent out to the subcommittee last night. So we'll be working on revisions and review and revisions of those. And actually today we're starting to move forward with the foundation building from the design point. So we've had a few comments back on the three interior pages, and we'll be addressing those and moving forward. We have a March 12th launch date for the new website, and we're excited.
Thanks. I think it's beautiful. I really like the homepage. Haven't seen the inside ones yet, but I think this is a great start.
It's got a very clean, nice, fresh look to it. Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah. Okay, Creative Review Subcommittee. We did not meet before this meeting, so. Then we're on to the Visitor Center report.
Good morning, everybody. In your packet, you'll see the report for December. Visits were up over last year's numbers, which we're very pleased about. Fulfillment is still down simply because of ad placements, but after I gave that report to the TBID, we got a request for about 850 fulfillment pieces. So staff got those out day before yesterday. So seems like people are thinking about vacationing again for next year. I placed a report on how we count our visitors hourly, and we're showing some low numbers in the early hours of the weekend. If you remember, we extended our hours from 9 to 5 on Saturdays and Sundays, so we're 9 to 5, 7 days a week. We may look at that and adjust our weekend hours simply to save on some staffing costs. And then I added some final sheets from our guest book sign-in. I thought it'd be nice to hear some happy thoughts with regards to the Visitor's Center and our visitors' experience at the Visitor's Center. So there's some great comments about Morro Bay in general, too, and I just thought it was a little uplifting. So thank you. Do you have any questions?
I don't. Anybody? Gosh, we're quiet this
You
morning.
Are.
But we have a full agenda later on,
okay.
So we're reserving.
This concludes my report.
You know, I don't know whether this is the proper time to talk about the Harbor Festival or what and the entry tent that we spent money on?
Sure. The Chamber administered that for Harbor Fest, so we seem to think that it was a success, and we're happy to take more advantage of having all those folks in town.
Thanks, Craig. TOT review. Everybody hopefully got their numbers, and it looks like things are up for November. Yep. The one thing that was interesting was the occupancy rate was just slightly down, but the receipts were up. So we're guessing that had to do with rates. Any?
Chair Stewart, I will tell you there was a question that came to Susan Slayton, our Administrative Services Director, about number of rooms available, because apparently there were a couple of hotels that were offline, or some of their rooms were offline. So she is looking into that, and if there's a change that needs to be made, she'll be making that, and we'll keep you posted on that.
But however you look at it, we were a little bit higher.
Yes, it's
That's
still positive.
The good news.
Yes.
A little bit more. Any other comments on TOT? It looks like we're still ahead on trailer park receipts, vacation rental receipts. It all looks pretty positive, and I think perhaps reflects advertising kicking in. We can hope. Okay, advertising agency report. Sherry.
Okay. Okay, we're going to go through some of the ad placements and stats, both online and print, to start with. And most of these are December. Some of them fall back into November. These are the Yahoo banner ads that ran from mid-November through mid-December. We're in the Sacramento, Modesto, Fresno, Visalia, and a small portion of it in SLO County and Santa Barbara County. Doing very well on the click-through rates and pleased with the campaign. We took a break. We stopped it on 12/18, and we're going back in, if I can see, let's see. It goes back online in February. So that's just a great way to run those banner ad campaigns, to take a break, and then it seems refreshed for the people who are looking at those. So we're pleased with those reports. There it is, the new billboard. Dave Cox risked his visitor center and at various California welcome centers and four international airports. So they'll be distributed all through 2012. This is a CPC campaign on sunset.com. Again, doing very well. They've got various size ads, and that's a four-screen banner ad that that runs, and they've had some good success with the click-through rates on that, and that continues through this first half of 2012. This is another CPC campaign. This is their TripAdvisor. This is the Morro Bay banner ad campaign, and it's been going since the end of October. And it will continue all the way through next October. They also have, we also have a Morro Bay sponsorship page, which is when people go on TripAdvisor and search for Morro Bay, it's everything about Morro Bay. They can click onto the website. There's lots of great information on there. And those banner ads get served on other people's sponsorship page. So we've been tracking that and finding that they're showing up on the Ventura sponsorship page and Pismo Beach, and we like to see that. So keeping track of how we're hitting the competition. This is the San Jose MercuryNews.com campaign. Both CPC and TBID have been running. CPC ran through mid-November through the end of December. TBID started up mid-December and will run through the first part of right into the half of February. So two very, very vibrant campaigns going on and great click-throughs. The industry standard is about 10, and so we've hit 18 with your campaign and 23 with the TBID campaign. These are some articles. This is a blog post called Sidetracked that published some beautiful Morro Bay sunsets over the New Year's Eve weekend. There was just a plethora of great photographs, and they were commenting and making some great remarks about the town. And this is a Bay News article on the director of tourism position that has been is being considered, and they did a full double truck article on the whole thing. So that was in December. This was Judy Salamaca's article in the Tribune about the Bird Festival. And
from Pacific Wildlife Care.
Yeah, it was great. I met with Ruth Ann Angus early on because we were going to be doing some PR, and she had basically covered, you know, all of the PR that we had thought about, but needed a little help with local. And we also did an outreach to the Central Valley Schools and San Luis Obispo County and Santa Barbara County Schools for Family Day. So hoping that helped a little bit. It sounded like it was very successful. This is the California State Visitor's Guide, and we were very pleased to see Rob Lowe on the cover because we think it's going to get picked up quite a bit. So the ad appears, and that's the TBID ad that appears. It's about four pages in. I'll just give you a little across from the table of contents. So very, very visible and in a great publication. These publications are all in all of the California Welcome Centers, as well as distributed for fulfillment from the state of California. So it's a great thing, and that'll be out all year. And this is, let me see if I can get this to work. This is a video, very exciting stuff for Morro Bay Oyster Farm. Let's see what's going to happen. Okay, thank. Oops, this went back. It's just a short clip, but it's beautiful Morro Bay.
The seafood changes daily, you know, and you're constantly wondering what is the ocean going to yield. My name is Tim Opperly. I've been with Whole Foods for 22 years now. I'm the regional seafood coordinator for the Southern Pacific region. My job is to go out and to source and find great seafood and actually meet the fishermen and, you know, make that connection that way. So we have a face-to-face relationship. People don't realize that there's somebody out there actually standing on a boat catching a fish, one fish at a time. I had heard from a friend about this guy in Morro Bay that was doing oysters.
Water temp here is, it's in the mid to low 50s, so it might be warmer than the air. I'm looking forward to this bath.
This is the Morro Bay Estuary. This is our office.
This is our most typical size of oyster. It's basically a yearling.
So every oyster that goes to the market passes through this table, through it's all hand sorted.
I knew Neil for like a year. You know, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I run the oyster farm. Called me up about a week later, started the crew. Everyone knows us, you know, as the Oyster Boys. It's awesome.
I want to make sure that this first and only grocery store we'll be selling to.
We want them to expand at their own pace. Whatever they want to do is what they want to do. And we're going to, you know, help them the best that we can. And just making that connection, you know, to support those communities, because this is a livelihood for people. And if we're not buying their fish, and if they're not taking care of it properly, then it's not sustainable for anybody, and the local factor will disappear. I love the ocean. It's just an amazing place to be. I've got a great job. Now I get to travel the world looking for great products, fresh fish, you know, for our customers to enjoy.
Whole Foods regions that they're going to be in is what they call their Southern Pacific area. It's going to be in Hawaii from the Bay Area all the way down to San Diego. And they are the only oysters that are going to be sold in Whole Foods. This video was sent to sunset.com because they had done the huge feature on the Morro Bay Oyster Farm. And they're planning to run it online on sunset.com. We also sent it to KCOY, KSBY, the Tribune, all the regular. Because it's big news. I mean, Whole Foods is just quite a coup for a Morro Bay company, and they run that video in Whole Foods as well. So I think Morro Bay is going to get a little bit of play all throughout the state. So everybody was excited about that, and it was shared. We had it on the website and got lots of good Facebook comments on it as well. These are news releases. This is some of the tweets that went along with the Bird Festival that we already talked about. And then the PR program that we're working on for winter 2011, working on winter tourism in Morro Bay, that, you know, the weather's great, get out of the fog in the Central Valley and come to beautiful Morro Bay. So we are actively doing an outreach to radio stations right now in Sacramento, Fresno, Bakersfield, Visalia, San Francisco, San Jose, and LA for we've made an outreach to their live DJs, which has been a little bit of a challenge because so many of the radio stations are now syndicated, but have had a couple of comments back and forth about, you know, possibly doing an interview and possibly, you know, getting someone to come up here and stay a couple nights and see what Morro Bay is about and then talk about it on air. We also pitched the Morro Bay winter activity story to Pete Hamilton, who is a KGO travel talk show host in San Francisco. I've talked just very briefly with his representative to see if we can set something up in March. This is from December 2010. We've had almost a 20% increase to December 2011. Again, the page views is just showing that people are spending a little bit more time on the site. That's a huge 50% jump as far as them actively going into shopping or dining or some of the lodging pages. And this has stayed pretty steady, 70% new visitors and 30% returning visitors, which is a good healthy amount. Smartphone use up almost 10%. smart device up 300%. So those iPads are booming. And then these are the top 10 referring URLs. You can see we're getting a little bit of action off of the banner ad campaigns that we're running. MercuryNews.com is almost at the top. TripAdvisor, got some Yahoo in there. So I think that's all paying off as far as people coming to the website from those sites. And the top 10 referring cities, looking really good. Arroyo Grande popped up, which hadn't been in the report for a while, and good to see San Diego and Santa Barbara in there as well. And the lodging report, way, way, way up. The Jackrabbit report that is the booking agent on the website is also up for December. TOT, it doesn't look very good, but it is our it is the season, so we still are tracking ahead of 2010, and we're looking for some good things to come in 2012. Google Analytics added 23 email addresses to the database, so we've now got a database of over 9,200, which we've been using monthly to send out e-blasts to this database. As far as most of them have signed up for the Ultimate Getaway or the e-newsletter, so we're just sending out, you know, periodically things that are happening in Morro Bay or our press releases and things about activities here and events. Facebook is going strong. We're over 3,000 likes, and we've just had lots and lots of action on the Facebook page, which we're really glad to see. It's people from all over the state, even out of the state, or, you know, people from here will post things, and then everybody's like, I want to go there. Morro Bay's the good response, especially for a first time event. And on, lots of Facebook. I guess Facebook is not dying, though. And that's it for the marketing report.
Thanks, Sherry. Anybody have questions or comments? I had a couple. I watched the TBID meeting, and I know they raised some concerns about the domain name, and I was and other names like MorroBay.com being out there. My personal feeling is I don't think it's a huge issue, but I wondered what you felt. I know that when I go to look for some other community for travel opportunities, I'll Google that name of that community, and when all those different sites come up, I look for the one that says tourism or chamber or something that I know is going to give me that information I need. So do you see that we're having a problem with driving people? I mean, I know it's hard to tell because you can't keep track of all those other domain names, but...
We've discussed this quite a bit since we've been on board. .org is very often a government or city moniker at the end, but obviously MorroBay.com is not available. Somebody bought it, and you know it's probably for sale, but it's probably very expensive. We've purchased a few different ones: DestinationMorroBay.com. MorroBayVacations.com, which we can use for landing pages if we ever feel the need. One of the things is that all of the advertising right now is MorroBay.org. It's on your billboard. It's on things that are out for a year. You could redirect. You could certainly change and redirect from MorroBay.org to a new site, but we haven't come upon one that just seems as perfect as the one that you have. So, and the Google search is how generally people get there,
usually in the first or second place on Google.
In a good position. I don't see any need to change it. I think we need to keep our eyes on it for what other people are doing, but when we went to there was a VCB meeting where they talked about Visit California, and a lot of that's visitcalifornia.com, and they're encouraging a lot of cities to do visitsanfrancisco.com just so it's cohesive. And we looked into that domain name, and I think that's owned by somebody else, but it's, you know, they're always up for grabs. It's just a matter of how much. Mm-hmm. So, well, I marketing plan, and it is a draft, and it is going to have photo credits on it. most of the, you know, we've done one photo shoot out here, but actually Bill Shuchuk did it. We just had our creative director with him doing some shots that we needed for advertising. But no, we have all of the archives that we have are listed by the photographer that's using them, and we're trying to find out right now on the website. We are trying to figure out how to do photo credits, but what we think we're going to do is have a button that says photo credits where all of the photographers that contribute to that website will be listed and can be linked to their website at the end, rather than
right.
every That's photo being, you know, it's hard on a website to get photo right. credits on every photo. So, yeah, we're very aware of it, and we're, you know, definitely addressing it.
And I think that's I know magazines will do that. You know, they'll credit the photo that's on the cover on the inside page. But I do think that's important. We have some really talented people, and they deserve to be recognized, yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else? Thanks, Sherry. Moving on, discussion and approval of a new RAC card. So we had our picture of the RAC card up there.
They're talking about it. It's the first time we get to see it. It's kind of fast to see it, you know, to give it some thought.
It's up there. Let me see if I can back up to it.
Well, still. Not.
Way at the front.
Oh, yeah. Knowing how these work.
It's on there. There it is. Okay.
I have a couple of comments,
okay.
Sherry. Knowing how RAC cards work, because I work with them every day, I think one of the things you might want to consider is taking Morro Bay, Discover Morro Bay, and having it on top of the logo, only because they sit in racks like this, and there's another card that's going to be about this far below it. And so you'll see that, which many people might not know what it is, but you won't see the Morro Bay. So my comment would be to try to see if you could move the Morro Bay to the very top of the card. One other comment is that the location of Morro Bay is not, it would be important to say have it relative to where it is in California. Other than that, I think it's fine. Those are my comments.
Anybody else? Amit?
No, yeah, I think I agree with the Bill. With the small map, with like pinpointing out where the Morro Bay is, like, you know, maybe we can put Monterey Bay and maybe Santa Barbara or something up towards south, and pointing out Morro Bay on Cabrillo Highway 1 like that. That would be a good idea.
How hard would that be to do at this point?
It wouldn't be hard. We just need to move a few things around. And I don't have the copy in front of me. I'm thinking, one of those bullet points, does it say halfway between San Francisco and L.A.?
It says so at the top, yeah.
Okay.
It says Morro Bay is a picturesque seaside village located along Scenic Highway 1, halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles.
Right. I think we just need to rework it a little bit. You know, we were trying to keep it very clean, and but I think a map, I mean, it may even fit in. I'm thinking one of those pictures at the bottom could possibly be, you know, replaced with a map depending on the size. But I think it's a great idea, and I think we should play around with it.
Yeah, just an outline of the state of California. This one has an outline of the state of California and just shows San Francisco, Morro Bay, Los Angeles with Morro Bay, and it's just a little, just very, very small, very tiny.
I like it. I think it got tweaked to a good point. All right, and then should we discuss at this point then who we will have print it? Because we had a couple of bids on the printing, and the local one was a little bit higher than the other one. Is that appropriate, Andrea, to cover that here, or should that be a budget subcommittee?
I think that's more a budget subcommittee issue than getting into that discussion here. But when you do determine whether or not you're going to go with this, I will need a motion for accepting the RAC card.
Okay. All right. Any other comments?
Yeah, please? You can hardly see the boat. What's showing up there and what we've got here to me are two different things. You know, this is really, in my estimation, a little bit too dark. I like the colors up there better. Where are these rack cards put out, and how many are we talking about ordering?
We've recommended ordering 15,000 of them. TBID has a contract with the California Welcome Centers all throughout the state of California, and that includes 4 international airports, and that's where they'll be distributed.
And you're talking about 15,000?
Yes.
Do we have a lot left of the old print?
No.
At least there, you got the credits, picture credits on the, at the bottom.
Will we be using these for fulfillment here, or will we still be using the TBID guide?
My understanding is that they mostly use the visitor's guide in the visitor center.
They do.
When I've talked to any... Yeah, the rack card, just because people, when they're in Morro Bay, they want to see more. Yeah. They're actually talking about doing that visitor's guide quite a bit smaller than it is. I think it's 48 pages right now. They want to go down considerably on that visitor's guide because people just don't read that much. So, but I do think that the visitor's guide is more what is picked up in the visitor center.
Well, it's picked up at the visitor center, yes. However, for mailing purposes, it's more expensive to mail. And we used for many, many years, we just used to send the rack card as a fulfillment piece with a little coupon in it saying, when you're in Morro Bay, come by and we'll give you a nice visitor's guide. And we'd get those coupons redeemed. Yeah, not tremendous amount, but people would come in with the coupon once they got the rack card and came to Morro Bay. So we put it actually in their hand. But in the mail, for fulfillment in the mail, we used the rack cards. So I don't know whether that's going to continue or we're going to continue to mail out the TBID brochure or not.
Yeah, we can definitely discuss that and see what they think, you know, what everybody thinks is best.
If we do,
account.
Then we might need even a larger
More.
Quantity.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. How much do you think this color reflects just whatever your printing is at your offices? I mean, I know this is a draft and not what a professional printer would do. Is there a way to desaturate that red?
It was just a last minute yesterday. I was like, I need some hard copies just so people can put it in their hands and see the size and see where everything falls on the page. It's not representative
it's not
of
that
the print
deep.
Job.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Well, do I have a motion to approve the rack card with the changes that we would try and put Discover Morro Bay up at the very top so it could be seen, and then a little small sketch map of California on the backside?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
Thanks.
Maps and also does directories. The chamber's looking at possibly contracting with him to do the chamber directory. We're going to put that out for bid for local people to bid on. But the map also was an idea that actually came from this committee here. We talked with Hay Printing. They put out a small map. And do you have one of those, Susan?
Yes.
And those are for each retail section. There's no advertising on those. D&M actually puts advertising on their maps, as you see there, and that advertising pays for the printing and also generates about $3,000 in revenue for the organization that contracts with them. So it kind of depends whether you want a clean map with no advertising or a map that pays for itself through the advertising. The prices, I believe, are on there from Hay Printing. They're very reasonable, and you know, they're a good little map, but there is cost involved in those. So it kind of depends what you want. What we were looking at doing is having all three sections, the main retail sections, represented on the map, and then also show how Morro Bay lies in conjunction with the rest of California. Am I close on that, Susan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Is the chamber going to do a map on their own, or is this going
no,
to be
this would be the map.
Effort?
This would be
this
the map.
This would be the map.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments? Put your microphone.
Like this one here?
That's one of the options there. It pretty much depends on what you want. The chamber wants to make sure that your needs are met with whatever map the chamber does.
Ed just showed me a map of, it's the San Luis Chamber of Commerce, but it's huge. What we had discussed in our meeting was people needing something they could fold up and just put in a pocket. So it's
and I believe that's the one that Bill has there, where it actually would fit in your shirt pocket, right?
Wait, that's mine.
No.
I like the, you know, that's a beautiful map, but we're a much smaller community. Yeah, I think we can.
This will make money.
And that will make money, too, the kind that Dan's holding or that Bill's holding with the little ads around.
Provided maps to all of our lodgers. We have 32 lodgers, I believe. So if they all got 200, that's 6,000 maps right there.
Right. All right, but what about restaurants and things like that?
Well, we could also do that. We certainly would carry them in the visitor center, and they would be free, so I'm assuming, for a free map, and we get lots of requests for maps when people come in.
Yeah, but would you try to sell these to merchants to give away?
No, I don't think so. I think we would provide them for free. The advertising already pays for the maps.
What I remember having when I first opened my business was some company like this one came through, was creating a map like this with the advertising all around the edges, and I paid for an ad and ended up with a couple of sort of notebook size, you know, so you pulled off a sheet and gave it to people, and they loved it.
And actually he said he could, that's what we talked about, is splitting the order, half of them being the folding map and the other half being a tablet tear-off map for people if they wanted to put them on their counter and just tear them off, draw, okay, you go down this street here.
The other thing I was thinking about with the little map, this one was done by the North Main Street businesses, and I know the Embarcadero put together a bigger one for themselves, and perhaps we could talk to the Merchants Association about having Old Town do their own version.
Well, I think that was the thought that Hay Printing had, that North Morro Bay, Downtown, and the Embarcadero would all have individual maps like that and have a rack with three sections in it so that each map would be on someone's counter, you know, business counter or lodging counter or at the visitor center. So that certainly is one option. It's nice and clean, and I like the size of it, but it will need funding.
Right. This one doesn't pay for itself.
Right.
And as I recall, the North Main Street businesses paid for this, or did Mary put it together for them?
That I don't know.
Okay.
Are you looking at a street map of the whole city or just of the shopping areas?
Well, it will include most of the city. So, yes.
One of the requests we get for maps at the visitor center quite often is try to get from one place to another, point A to point B. You're here at the visitor center, they want to get to Rite Aid, they want to get to Albertsons. So a tear-off pad map with streets on it that is not too expensive, where you can take a marker or yellow...
Tear-off.
Yeah, but you wouldn't need to use expensive cardstock or folding or things that make it more expensive when you start to go to lots of colors and folding and...
That map also has points of interest on it, which our visitors like. And I believe it has a listing of restaurants, but I'm one of them does. And maybe it's the larger one of that style.
But I would be in favor of having a map that's a dual purpose, one that you could put in pads and maybe one that you could fold also. But the pads, I think, would be very useful to everyone, even the businesses. You could use them in your business, too.
Yeah. I'm in favor of having one that pays for itself.
I am.
Like that concept.
Well, and
maybe make some money.
And what we need to do is put it out to bid, but we'll also put it out to Hay Printing, who does the smaller one, and certainly I would think that they could do something similar to that, and they are local, and there's, you know, a couple people that we can put it out to bid. And if you're in agreement, I'll go ahead and do that, and we'll report at the next meeting how the bids came in.
What... You've got two maps, one on each side, but you're thinking about a bigger area map on the one side that would show, I don't know, all up and down Highway 1, or what were you thinking about on the other side? Or
Susan, if you can remind me, I believe we were talking about a bigger Morro Bay map, and then on the other side, the different retail areas highlighted. Is that correct?
Something like that. And I think we were hoping to get restaurant listings and hotel listings
And points of interest.
Are you going to put a dot or number them or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of those maps has that feature on it. But it would be that I'm thinking that size is best. If we don't go with a smaller one, you know, if we want to get the funding from the advertising, that's about the smallest size that we could do.
I've got a question on that too. You said that this would be the size of the tear-off one as well, or that would be 8.5 by 11.
No, it would also be that size.
That's a huge tear-off,
but it works. We've had them before in the town when, like I said, somebody came through.
I mean, that's
and they're a pad. Big. They're gummed edge.
It's like, what, 14 by 17?
Yeah, this is
14
by 11, I think.
No.
It's a little bit bigger.
That's why it's 14 by 17.
The names, they're going to have to be that. If they make them any smaller, the street names.
Well, I guess what I'm wondering is, do we need to have all the advertising on the tear-off one, or can that be just a map on an 8.5 by 11?
Well,
one advertising. And I'm wondering if we sell this one, which is great, with the advertising on it, will there be enough to fund a smaller one in black and white without the advertising that's just literally a throwaway?
Well, here's a thought, and I'm speaking for my board. We had talked about the organization, the chamber, making $3,000 and putting this map together. What we could do is flip that $3,000 towards the production of a tear-off map.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to put that before my board.
I just think it would be somewhat more efficient. You'd get more of those, and they're more disposable, rather than having somebody, you know, mark up one like this, which is
right.
really expensive
well,
and
actually,
pretty,
the cost
and
is,
then still
yeah,
have it tossed.
Yeah, the cost is the same if they do a tear-off map.
Of the color.
Of the colored right. one like that.
But I'm
yeah.
saying if it's a black and white 8.5 by 11, that's going to be a lot cheaper, I would think.
But if you shrink it down to 8.5 by 11, you're not going to be able to see much.
Yeah. Other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. Exactly.
Is the size of the map.
Exactly.
Without the advertising.
Right.
But I do think that part of what works with this is the advertising. It's giving businesses the opportunity to put their name out there. There's a buy-in.
But the whole idea of the tear-off one is, here's how you get from point A to point B. Once they get there, it goes in the trash or it gets recycled or something.
Right.
It's not something they're going to keep and treasure forever. It's a disposable tear-off map.
I think in tear-off map, you can still put it on a corner or on a side. Like, there will be a space. It won't take like that big space amount of like, you know, for the maps and all.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be highlighting the streets and stuff, but still there is a side where you can put restaurant, say, services, and I mean, you can put anything over there.
Yeah.
Like all the name of the list of the restaurants or breakfast place or surf, whatever place, like XYZ name of the shops.
And two, I don't think we're looking at a map of the whole city. I don't know, we need it. We just need our business district to be shown. So,
you know, the real estate people have maps that they give away for free of the city, a city map, and I don't know. As a retailer and seeing tourists coming through, I don't know. I do think they look at the ads around the edge and see what's available, and you know, it does catch their eye.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What are we going to use this map for? If it's going to be from point A to point B for throwaways, that's one thing.
But if I may recommend, I would recommend the one that Bill is holding there. It suits all of the purposes, and it will pay for itself through the advertising.
And
people will keep that. I'm a map crazy guy. I got a whole box of maps.
If it's free, if
yeah.
you've got the pad here and those here, I would pick up the folded map.
Right.
I wouldn't take a flat map.
And I would
take the folded map.
I think
the
idea with this is that the businesses who advertised, or any businesses, could get the pad of maps and do with them what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They can fold them.
Yeah.
I think part of what we're here for is to help businesses have that opportunity to get some amounts of advertising out about who they are and what their services are. So in a way, I feel like this is a dual purpose thing. It's helping visitors find where they want to go, but it's also giving businesses an opportunity to put themselves on a map.
I also see couponing opportunities here down the side.
Sure.
Businesses who wanted to have coupons,
no
offers, they could do that too.
No, because it ruins the ad on the backside. Well, you don't take a double-sided ad, you cut it out.
Yeah,
well, other guys' ads
happens.
Shot.
Happens in the newspaper
sold
all the time.
Those,
happens
it?
In magazines and newspapers.
But
all
if
the
they
time.
Cut the ad of the 10% coupon or 5%, doesn't matter. The map gonna be with them anyway.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Either they use the coupon or not. I mean, they will throw it away.
But it's difficult to sell an ad that's on behind a coupon if it's going to be cut off the map, because the person on the back of the coupon has paid the same as the coupon person. And it ends up with a problem. You're going to get a mock-up of this thing before we start. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But all you'd have to do there is they bring this map. You don't have to say they have to cut
out. Yeah, that's a good size of map. I would say it's rather than, I feel like it when I saw this North Main Street map and the Embarcadero map, it's like we're splitting here. Like, I would say we should have one map. So we don't want to give any business like South, North. I would say we just want to keep it one more away, like done. Like, you know, if it's everything, it's on a main street, we can
this
make a one good
Princeton
map,
University.
Which goes all the way to Morro Bay North, as far as the business are, and, you know, highlight them. We don't want to, if you don't need to, we can put those residential street or all, but at least main street, we can highlight them. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to keep it only like one, I would say. I mean, I know if we might not be funding them, they are putting their own money, but still, I would say, you know, I feel like if we are missing something here, we are not doing something, then so that they have to go and do it their own thing. You know, I would say that. I feel that. I don't know.
Does that sound reasonable? And I won't tell the Merchants Association about little maps. you're right. We need to be a unified community.
Yeah, this can be doubled in size.
If you have you seen the welcome map? The one, I forget the name of the company who make it. They deliver locally and every hotel and all, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you've seen that, we can get that idea, like how they have a list of the restaurants and all with the phone number. We don't put the phone number, but at least you can list, you can put the phone number, but we can list them like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the name of the restaurant, vendors, basically, in a tier of map.
Yeah.
The tablet maps.
Yeah.
Rather than putting that big advertiser or big postcard size thing, we can just probably we can fit 5 or 6 people in that size with the name, like, you know, restaurants list and all.
Okay. Does that work for you, Craig?
So should I move forward and put out an RFP?
Yes.
Very
yes.
good. Hopefully by next month I'll have a couple of bids to present to you.
Great. Did we need a motion on that, Andrea? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, new business. Discussion of meeting time. Andrea has something to say.
I would say that you, by a motion, you could certainly move items up in your agenda, and I know that some of your audience members are here for the presentation, so you might want to, not telling the board what to do, but you might consider that.
Good idea.
Yeah, we could. Do we feel like discussion of the meeting time is going to take time? I think it was just whether we moved it from 8 to 8:30.
Or 9.
Or not.
I would ask which would be working for the city. Is 8:30 or 9, either one of those okay?
I would move 8:30.
I'd second.
Any discussion?
Why are we moving it again? Why doesn't 8 work? Some of us have jobs where we have to.
We do have jobs. I think the idea was to get more public comment opportunities that some people didn't like getting up early. I'm fine with 8 personally, but I, you know.
I'm fine with anything.
Yeah, I like 8 myself.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm fine with anything, but I'd prefer 8:30 or 9.
Me too. I'd go for 9 too, but I'll go for 8:30.
If 8:30 is the majority, I mean, I'll go with the majority, whatever they want.
Heck. It is more of a discussion item than I thought.
As long as we don't lose members, you know, is it going to be more difficult to get a member that owns a business if he has to have the business open by 9:30 or 9, and we're going to, our meeting is going to go to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So,
4. We've got a majority. Sorry, Dan. All right.
Yay.
8:30.
I actually looked at my agenda today thinking maybe we had changed it.
No,
hopefully.
We did not change.
I know. So I'll
all
be happy
right.
next year.
Sure, Stuart, can we just go back? I want to make sure that I had 4 hand raises, and I don't know. I think you're going to vote a yes, and I didn't hear a no.
I did not raise my hand for 8:30. 8 o'clock is fine for me. So Dan and I were 8 o'clockers.
Okay.
Discussion of the marketing plan. We have Jeff Eccles in the audience to bring forward an idea that he had, and he can talk about it.
Good morning, members of the Community Promotions Committee. Thank you for your time this morning, as well as staff. My name is Jeff Eccles. I'm here with Homer Alexander to present some ideas to you. We're both residents of Morro Bay. And we've done some work for you with regard to the marketing efforts to tourism for the city of Morro Bay. Many of you that know me know that I have 2 8-year-olds, my twins, and they are the light of my life. And one of the things that my twins love to do is play with Legos. And they'll play with their Legos and they'll together build up a structure. And they have fun and they keep building it taller and taller and taller until eventually that one last piece gets put on the structure and it falls over. And they get giddy about it and then they start it all over again. I think that there's an analogy in the process that my kids do with regard to what we're talking about with the director of tourism for the city of Morro Bay. The reason that Homer and I got involved with this process is we're both businessmen, we're both systems guys. We both have training in systems and management. And when the prospect of adding a director of tourism to the existing structure within the city of Morro Bay came about, we became very concerned, frankly, because we thought it might be expertise for both of us. So we thank you for hearing our ideas. We presented, as you probably know, to the TBID board last week, and we're happy to present our ideas and our research to you today as well. So I'll explain to you what we did, where we are now, and the proposal that we have for you is also. And we all know that we have this common vision currently. We know that we want to further tourism because it benefits everyone in the city of Morro Bay. It's what I call, in short, a rising tide lifts all boats. We know that increased tourism and more efficient marketing in our city is going to bring more dollars into the city and not just benefit the hotels, not just benefit the retailers, but benefit every resident and citizen in the city of Morro Bay. As far as getting the streets and the potholes paved, we'll have money flowing into the general fund to do that, the fire department, the police department. That's the common vision that we all share. But I'll submit this to you. The way that we are currently structured in marketing the city creates different entities that sometimes even are at odds with each other. So we think that there may be a more efficient way to do it. And in our research, the first thing we had to do was wrap our arms around what we currently have. So we've done a lot of planning in that regard. We put together a chart that we think accurately depicts the current structure of marketing organizations within the city of Morro Bay. And if you take a look at that chart, you can see that there are a lot of arrows going around and that there are several different entities. We can identify 4 different entities in the line there in the middle that are responsible for marketing that indirectly or directly report to the city council. What we discovered, however, in this structure is there are a few things that are critical for an organization to succeed that are lacking. The 2 things that we found that are critical that are lacking in this current structure are, 1, a means for providing an overall strategic vision for marketing for the city. I think we've recently made some great strides with that with the marketing report that you have before you today. But still within this current scheme, there is no singular point. And we all know, we've been here working, and thank you all for the work that you do, We know that working within the current structure at times presents its challenges. So what we did after looking at the current structure is we went out and we looked at other tourist-driven cities within the state of California. And we did our homework with this. We contacted the preeminent attorney within the state of California out of Sacramento to seek his counsel with regard to the formation of BIDs, business improvement districts, tourism BIDs. And we found out that there actually is a very common structure that is in place that has been working successfully in other tourist-driven municipalities. I'm a huge believer in not reinventing the wheel. If I can find a model out there that works, I want to do it because it'll save us time and effort, and it's already proven successful. So it's just common sense that if we can replace a more convoluted model with a streamlined model that's already in place in many other communities in the state of California and working, then we should give that some examination. So I'll show you the chart of what the model looks like that we are proposing to you. And I was asked to present to you today because obviously you're an integral part of the marketing services within the city of Morro Bay. And this also directly affects you, these changes that we would recommend. We've asked the TBID to make a recommendation to the city council. You, of course, as a board, will do what you will with this information. We would ask you, however, to make a recommendation to the city council as well. Speaking frankly, I think the city council is in need of some ideas and direction with regard to the overall marketing services within the city. Going back to that first structure, and in speaking with many different community members, there's some agreement to that point. So looking at the proposed structure, the biggest change that we're going to see here is creating a new tourism bureau within the city. That tourism bureau would be incorporated. It would be a nonprofit corporation, much the same way a chamber is incorporated as a nonprofit. So they're called a 501c6 nonprofit corporation. The sole purpose of that bureau would be to market Morro Bay to the outside world. All of the functions of marketing the city. A major one, of course, is a visitor center. Other things like you're discussing today, which could very efficiently, quickly be accomplished via the Bureau of Tourism. An interesting thing about the staff within the Bureau is they're not subject to Brown Act laws the way a public advisory board is. So something like, and I'll give you an example, something like the map that we've been discussing a while now, of course, it takes time to get that done correctly through the existing process. It just takes time to get it done. Within this process, the director and staff would be able to streamline a process like that and have it done very efficiently, very quickly, with a very fast turnaround because that's their sole objective, and they're not having to do things like that within a public forum. So that's the big addition. Looking at the other side, to the left side of the chart, which illustrates the public sector, which, of course, is what you folks are, the board that I'm standing before today. We currently have two boards that advise the city council with regard to spending our tourism marketing dollars. As you well know, the TBID, the Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board, as well as the Community Promotions Committee Advisory Board. Under this proposed scheme, we recommend combining those two boards into one entity, into one board. We know that the TBID is relatively new, the last couple of years, and there's been some growing pains. Where exactly do these two advisory boards fit together? Where do they overlap? Where do they not? That, under this proposed structure, those two boards would be blended into one and would provide for an efficient singular means of marketing the marketing services for Morro Bay. That board, because it's a public board, would have to meet probably only about twice a year. And it really would be budget approval items, because obviously that board is receiving the monies from the city. That board would really serve as a conduit. The monies would flow through that board over to the Bureau of Tourism. Now, a big question, of course, well, wait a second, who's going to be on that board? Who's going to be on the other board? Who's going to be on the advisory board? Who's going to be the same group of people on both of those boards? And again, the importance of having a bureau to implement is critical here, because what would happen is the advisory body would provide the strategic vision, the direction, where do we want to go with our marketing efforts, to the director. And then the director is responsible for that implementation. So part of the challenge, I think, in looking at a new model like this is that in our current structure, we have different entities that are going to want to look out for their own interests. In this particular structure, we are bringing those interests all together, all on the same page. And as I mentioned before, Homer and I are just business guys. We honestly and truly believe that we're impartial in this process, and we're happy to bring you this research and work and hope that it will be some productive information for you as well. So that's the presentation that we have. Homer, did I cover everything? Okay. So we're happy to be here. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have. And again, I thank you for your time, for allowing us to present our ideas to you today.
Thanks, Jeff. Questions?
Lots. This is a lot to take in. I guess I'm confused about, you're talking about forming a nonprofit organization, this tourism bureau, but it's going to be funded by public funds?
Correct.
How's that work?
The bureau would actually be the contracting entity with the city. So it would be via a contract between the city and the bureau. The same way, for instance, right now the city contracts with the nonprofit, the Chamber of Commerce, to run the visitor center. So it would just be that contractual agreement between those two entities.
Okay.
So the board would be appointed by the city?
Correct.
And looks good to me, though. What about the new director of tourism? Will it be within the committee, or will that be a third person? I mean, the stranger?
The director of tourism would be an employee of the bureau and would be selected by that board as well. So here's where the accountability really comes into play here, is that board, which is entrusted with providing the strategic vision for marketing more open.
Many part. So you're talking about giving $700,000 to a nonprofit organization that does not have public meetings.
The board itself would be subject to the Brown Act, because it's obviously the same board as the public board.
But you're talking about the public board only meeting twice a year.
There are some Brown Act implications, but the actual implementation of those dollars, just as, for instance, we contract with an advertising agency or outside agencies, that's a common practice. That's how it's done.
Let me interrupt for 1 minute, Janice. Both boards have to comply with the Brown Act?
So there would be public meetings.
Yes, they are public meetings. But as an example, in Huntington Beach, they've got a very large board. They are public. Nobody's ever come to the public meeting. But you are welcome. It's the responsibility of the nonprofit board to post the agendas, to maintain notes, do the normal things that come under the Brown Act and the Public Records Act.
All right, I wasn't understanding that. It looked like you were going to have a board meet twice a year, and that was it, and all this money was going to be spent without anybody knowing how.
No.
And that worries me a lot.
It's very, very public.
Okay.
Excuse me, Jimmy.
That's better. All right, so you've got, then the advertising agency is hired by the...
By the Bureau.
Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
And where does their funding come from?
I didn't hear, Janice.
Where does their funding come from?
Where does the funding...
The funding for the advertising agency.
That
comes out of the money that is all transferred to the Bureau. They have to pay the advertising agency.
Yes. So that would be part of their budget. So essentially, right now, in looking at the big picture, we spend in total about $700,000 in marketing dollars for the city. That budget would, that $700,000 would basically be the budget for the Bureau. So as the money is dispersed right now, it would just be streamlined in that one entity.
Okay.
Who does all the bookkeeping? So does the city still keep track of paying those bills and where the money's coming in and going out? Or does this board and director of tourism and the Bureau have their own office and infrastructure and staff and accountant and bookkeeper and all of that?
Yeah. You want Homer, you want to take this one? Because Homer's done some more research on that aspect than I have.
No, the new 501c6
closed physically. I mean, offices paid for also out of their budget or
yes,
provided.
Yes,
by
this
the
is a standalone business.
Okay,
think of it that way.
And is the chamber part of that business, or can it be, or the chamber is entirely put out of the picture?
Yes, I'm going to let Jeff expound upon that since he was previously a president of a chamber.
Not this chamber. I'm a chamber proponent, Janice, and we need a healthy and strong local chamber of commerce. The role that the Chamber of Commerce is playing right now within Morro Bay is they're a contract service provider. Right. So that contract would no longer exist under the scenario because, again, it would be streamlined within the Bureau itself. So carrying forward that contract with the Chamber for providing those visitor center services would no longer exist.
Jeff, how big a staff do you envision this 401c having? Because obviously you've got a budget here, but there's a compensation for the director. But what about the other expenses for the staff members that have to provide these services?
We've done some pro forma work, Ed, and the numbers pencil out between volunteers as well as the paid staff, but certainly a full-time director, a full-time staff person, and then probably one more half-time staff person, and then volunteers on top of that. So similar to what is happening at our visitor center today, as well as many other visitor centers in other towns.
So I would be interested in hearing from Craig, because I know he's had some experience with operating a chamber with the director of tourism under him, and it seems to me that could streamline a transition instead of trying to bring in a whole brand new entity. Just we've got our 501c6, hire a director of tourism, use the existing office, the staff, the computers, the printers, the phones, the. So I'd just be interested in hearing how that's worked.
Well, there certainly is benefits to leveraging the resources that you have already, and especially a small community like Morro Bay. I was the executive director, the CEO of two chambers that were the destination marketing organization for the community, Hood River County in Oregon and Healdsburg in Sonoma County. Very successful international marketing programs. The chamber was the 501c6. I was ultimately the one that was accountable to BCA to do that work for us. And the marketing person would be that point of contact, and we understand that there are some gaps with regards to communication and coordination. That person was the point person supervised by me. And it was a very efficient sort of setup. I gave you a draft proposal that was put together by my executive committee of the Chamber of Commerce on how that structure might work for just an additional $50,000 cost to have under contract with the city to have that marketing person come in under the auspices of the Chamber of Commerce. It's a model that has worked at many chambers, and again, it was successful at my last two chambers over a period of 15 years. We did a survey of 141 chambers of commerce, and over 50% of those contract with cities to provide visitor services and such. So it's not an unusual situation for chambers to be involved. And I actually went through training, organizational management training, and Economic Development Institute training in order to be able to do this work successfully. Again, staff would still be beholden to the council or committee, however you want to structure that. But there's benefit in expanding that committee to include all the stakeholders of the tourism economy in the community. That way you have buy-in from more businesses. You also have the opportunity of having those segments like the restaurants or the retailers meet quarterly to feed in information and ideas of how we can all partner and work together on promotions. So it's an effective model. I agree with Jeff and Homer and commend them on, you know, putting together a very efficient sort of organizational chart.
I don't see huge changes here. I think the big change I see is the Tourism Promotion Advisory Board is essentially combining the Community Promotions Committee and the TBID into one board, which I personally am in favor of. I think it's more efficient. I think there's enough overlap that it makes sense to do that. Other than that, I see what appears to me to be a name change of the chamber to the new Tourism Bureau Board and a combining into one singular box on your chart the two or three boxes that are on the previous chart. So I don't really...
On the right-hand side, that's where that major change is that, granted, we're in one respect exchanging one 501c6 with another, but the new 501c6 has that one objective, and that objective is simply marketing the city of Morro Bay. So that's and then managing all those all that entails below that. So in our view, it's a much more streamlined and accountable, I'll keep beating that horse, but much more accountable model than what we currently have.
So what's the purpose of the Tourism Promotion Advisory Board then?
A big part of that is legal. Any TBID needs to have that public advisory body, and then also, of course, that's the mechanism that allows the city, that advises the city, to conduit those funds to the Bureau.
Susan? I'd just like to make one comment since he's got this chart up. I mean, what got us into this initially was the discussion of the director of tourism. And I see on your agenda you're also going to discuss that this afternoon. Where would you put the director of tourism in that chart?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't put a director of tourism in that chart. I feel that this idea of a director of tourism doesn't make sense to me. It only adds to cost, which takes away from our dollars for marketing. I think combining the advisory board, which advises the marketing company, that makes sense. There's efficiency there. But you have a board that's representing different segments of the city of Morro Bay, advising the marketing company how to best market the city. I don't see a need for another person to get in the middle of that structure. I don't see that that adds anything. I only see that it takes away dollars from the marketing budget.
Yeah. And I would especially agree with that, Dan, within the current structure. And from what I can see that the chamber is proposing, there's an incremental increase there of $50,000 as well. And putting that, going back to my analogy with my second graders, that's putting one more block onto that structure that may not have that solid foundation at the base. The big change, though, is that the Bureau, as a singular inclined approach with the Bureau, you've got a more direct and effective mechanism for delivering those marketing efforts.
Jeff, I think we're overlooking one aspect here that I don't quite understand. As you realize, the funding for the mechanism for the marketing comes from two different sources. One is basically public funds, which is taxpayer money. The other is sort of paid for by the tourists or by the hotels who tax themselves and put the money in. And theirs is quite a bit more than what the city has to offer. So the weighting toward their focus is putting heads in beds. It's lodging. It's the lodging industry. That's where they want to market. They want that money to go, for the most part. I know they're looking at the whole city, but they feel that, obviously, if they can fill the hotels, there'll be a trickle-down theory, and we'll all benefit from it. So when we have a board, and it's going to be consisted of people who are looking out for a wider horizon than maybe just lodging, How do we recognize this board in this weighting toward the lodging industry, and it'll be focused more toward lodging maybe than the other businesses in town that also need looking after?
Thank you, Ed, and that's an important consideration. It would most likely be some type of a formula that would be in proportion to that funding amount. So, for instance, if we look in very round numbers, let's say $500,000 or $400,000 and $300,000. Dollars for a total budget, and 400 of that came from the T-bid, they might hold four seats as opposed to three non-T-bid seats. That's how it's done in some other communities. Generally speaking, the largest funding entity will have the most representation on that board. And in the research that we've done and in the discussions that we've had with community members, we have had that relayed back to us that seems to be a very fair and equitable way to comprise that board. And further beyond that, Ed, I think it would take those two different areas of focus from the two different boards and really bring them hand in hand together and allow them to work much more efficiently and effectively. And at the end of the day, save us dollars while at the same time marketing more effectively. It's a win-win in my book.
My concern with the makeup of a board like that, and I understand the pay-to-play, are paying the bulk of this with the TOT and the T-bid. But to have that industry have an overwhelming majority on the board, to me, would not represent the parts of tourism in this community that people are actually coming here for.
I want to back that up with something that was in the discussion of how much the T-bid was going to be able to assess. And the council allowed them the 3% rather than 2 because we didn't want to raise the TOT. We were going to do it that way so that they could have the immediate advantage of that. And if you hadn't balanced it that way and went back to raising the TOT, then you'd have more in the general sector. And my concern, too, is that the taxpayers, I guess what bothers me is the elimination of the chamber. We are a small city. I can understand in Los Angeles, your Chamber of Commerce is primarily business that is not tourist-oriented, where your tourism bureau would be for the, come to Hollywood and see the stars. But in Morro Bay, the business community and the tourist community, they are just totally intertwined. You cannot separate them because it is our major industry and it's where our major funding comes from. So to eliminate the chamber representing all the businesses in town in this equation does not seem efficient or fair to me. Whereas if we have this tourism bureau that is, and I'd like to see Craig's proposal considered as well, compared with this, It includes your businesses, it includes the public funds, and it includes the T-bid, all working together. And that's, I think, what we have to make sure we do. Because I can see a board that is based primarily on the 3% that T-bid has versus whatever funding the council can allow to the promotions as never being a fair vote if that's how it's done. And the interests of the taxpayer are just as important as the interests of the hotels, whether we've got the funding equal or not.
Thank you for the comments, and I appreciate them, and I'm extremely pleased that we've given you some food for thought on this to evoke those kind of comments as well. I agree with a lot of what you just said. One of the nice things about a bureau as a standalone entity is it's not a static animal. This is a growing dynamic entity. There are some other communities that do have more equal representation. Santa Barbara, for instance, more of that balance. And I think that is the end goal, sure.
Craig, did you have a comment?
Yeah, to Janice's comments, I think we can have our cake and eat it too. The proposal that I submitted where the chamber was the 501c6, assures that you have a strong chamber of commerce, and that's critical for the economy of a community, especially a small community. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been involved in chambers for the last 25 years. I really believe in the effect that we can have. But the organization that Jeff and Homer are presenting can fit into that plan and provide that accountability. It's been successful in my profession in the last 15 years, and that model was taken from other successful chambers that were the destination marketing organization for the community. So, I think we can work hand in hand to find a common solution to this and still get those efficiencies, those accountabilities, the coordination with a marketing person, and be a better community for it.
Andrea, when I believe this plan is going to be presented to the City Council by TBID, are they? I know they're going to meet again and try and work something.
A great segue. I was going to jump in. The TBID has decided to have a special meeting to discuss specifically some options. They're going to be looking at the chamber plan. They're going to be looking at this plan. I think they're going to be looking at just the idea of hiring a director of tourism and putting that person in somewhere. So they're going to be looking at those three options. They've decided to have a special meeting. Certainly the CPC would, and then, yes, they're going to be forwarding a recommendation to the City Council.
Do you know when?
We're fine-tuning the date, the end of next week, the beginning of the following week. I would suggest the CPC also hold a special meeting amongst yourselves to discuss this issue. We had bantered around at the staff level the possibility of a joint meeting, but it seems like that's so many people, it probably doesn't make sense. So I would suggest if the CPC wants to further discuss, you can have that discussion as well and forward a recommendation, if you would like to the City Council regarding the concept.
And would that meeting need to be posted and live?
Yes. So we need about at least a week or a week and a half.
And would it be better to do that than have a subcommittee look at creating a proposal? We probably don't.
You
have
could
time
have
for
a
that,
subcommittee, huh? But you'd have to come back to the general board to forward a proposal anyway. So I would suggest maybe a special meeting, but it's certainly up to you.
Meeting in February, maybe for the City Council. I'm trying to think of how we can squeeze all this in.
Well, then I would suggest that we schedule a special meeting to discuss these two options and any other suggestions that are out there and have a recommendation to forward to the council.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Yes,
Dan, okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So then can the city arrange a date for us? Would you?
We will. Yes, we will. We'll probably just poll you on dates that you're available, and you can respond directly back to the person that's doing the polling, and we'll try to get that going.
Any other comments here? Thank you so much, Jeff and Homer.
On behalf of Homer and myself, thank you for your time today, and thank you for allowing us to present to you. Thank you for all the hard work that you do, and we both look forward to working with you to make sure that the tide continues to rise in Morro Bay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Next up, we have Jamie Irons, our very own, who has discussion of a surfboard art event.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. My name is Jamie Irons, and I'm quite excited to listen to the organizational proposal on the change for the TBID and tourism, and that was quite educational. I had a conversation with Susan during one of the business expos, and I had a promotional concept idea that's not necessarily new. Through the conversation, it came to this level of discussing and proposing this idea to the promotions committee. So first of all, the concept for surfboard art as it was introduced is it's not necessarily new. You may have been familiar with Trout About Town in San Luis Obispo, the cows in Chicago, that type of art project. So with that, the thing that came to my attention and kind of was caught my interest in this was what were the possibilities for Morro Bay And last year, I was back in Bennington, Vermont. That's where my family's from. And they had a very interesting art concept, and it was entitled The 12 Dancing Princesses. I'll just put this on there. And it's a similar concept to Trout About Town. In this promotion was this artist couple that put together this basically kind of a storyline and used bicycles as their sculpting base. They put together the card, told the story, the map was there, kind of directing people through town to show them where all the different bicycles were. The businesses showcased them within their window. So the proposal would be similar, with the exception that the surfboard would be the base art medium. And to carry that a little further, it would be to include the local art talent that we have in the Central Coast. Some of those artists that come to mind would be Jane Beeman, Forever Stoked. You have Charlie Klingman, Peterson, Rowan from Fiona Blue, Jeff O'Dell, Mary Falstro, just to name a few. We could probably find more, I'm sure. So with that, you could also coincide this with 4th of July. If you wanted to incorporate Morbay 4th Committee, and you could this could be done to coincide with 4th of July, the visitors would have something to be directed around. They would have their map. They could vote on the what project that they liked. And at the end, there could be part of the 4th of July connection would be, so you could raffle off the boards afterwards. The proceeds could go to Morbay 4th for more funding issues. So those are some of the possibilities that are out there. The proposal presentation to you, that'd be up for you guys to kind of make those kind of details. I could say that I've got 3 surfboards myself that I could donate. The number of these, that's kind of open as well. Let me put one more thing out here. This is just random. It shows the Embarcadero and the downtown. The red dots, would dictate or kind of delineate, the possibilities of where that retail business would be. It might be part of the pamphlet. The tourists, they might be able to handle and take any questions if you have any.
Any responses?
I love the idea. I mean, we talked about the scarecrows that Cambria did so successfully, and I think it's a great idea. I don't know if I'd want to combine it with the 4th of July, which is already a big event, but perhaps with perhaps on an off-season weekend or another event that doesn't have quite the group coming into town that the 4th of July already has.
You know what I could see doing is putting it out to maybe professional artists and then amateur artists and doing it before the 4th, but raffling off, having it on display, but then raffling off the boards to help raise money for the 4th or something, I don't know. And then there would be the question whether we helped in some way with funding this, because you hate asking artists to do things for free.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
Amateurs don't care, but
how do you envision this being funded? And are you asking us for a certain amount of money? What are you asking the promotion committee for?
Yeah, that's a good question. Thanks for asking that. I kind of pulled in my number around $50 to $100. So, as an example, if a business wanted to sponsor that surfboard, a surfboard, I got a couple of surfboards at garage sales. So, $5, $10, you could pick up a surfboard. The $100 might be, or $50 could be, and this is just concept. For instance, if a business wanted to sponsor this, and I'll just pick with Fiona Blue as an example, Rowan might say, oh, yeah, I'm up for that. I'll sponsor this. You could put it in my window. Here's $50. and you're able to attain a surfboard, and that covers some of the artist supplies to do that project. Does that make sense?
Somebody also suggested when you raffled them off, half could go, or two-thirds, or whatever, to the 4th of July, and the rest to the artists. You know, there might be ways to play around with that. And then, of course, the Promotions Committee is about promoting. So it'd be getting it into the advertising, which I think could be really fun. I could see lots of avenues that BCA could take it to get the word out that it was going on.
I just wonder if we should get the Art Association involved in it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But the thing that worries me a little bit is the cost of the...
Are involved in their business district as well. And just kind of to mirror this concept, what they did bras for cancer, bras for breast cancer awareness. So their business district, they got a bunch of bras, they decorated them, they threw them up, you know, had them up in their businesses. And, of course, that all went to breast cancer awareness. So, you know, there was some fun going on there. You know, how they funded all that, you know, I don't know the details about that. But, you know, there's just kind of some elements of fun there and what the possibilities could be.
Well, I think for funding, too, we've got a couple of sporting goods shops in town that, you know, concentrate on surfing stuff. We could also contact surfboard companies. If they've got stuff that's, you know, not selling anymore, who knows what they're doing, whether they'd be willing to donate it for the publicity, the fact that, you know, these surfboards were all provided by so-and-so. I mean, that can always be a good sell, too. So I think there's ways to get the supplies out there. I don't think that would be an issue. I think it could be a lot of fun.
So, Dan, do you see this as something, it feels like you always need a committee, you need a group that's dedicated to doing something. Do you think there's people on the 4th of July board who might be willing to help get it moving with maybe Jamie on there and maybe me and maybe Craig and maybe a couple other extra people?
With respect to the 4th of July committee, we're...
Stretched thin.
Yeah. How do I say it? Yeah, there's about 8 of us right now, and we've got a pretty monumental task to put together the 4th of July this year with a lot less people than we've had in the past participating. So when these types of other ideas that come along that sound like they could add to that event or that weekend or you know, somehow be incorporated, we love them, but it's nearly impossible for us to provide more bodies to help assist. We're just kind of running thin. It's hard right now.
So maybe if we could put something together with Craig's help, with you, with anybody on this board who thinks it's a great idea, and somebody at the Art Center.
Art Association, that's what I was going to say.
Art Association, yeah. And Bill just suggested the Creative Subcommittee could maybe help take a look at it. I'd like a presentation of Tourism Efforts Research.
So we went a little backwards.
That was tied in with the marketing plan.
So we actually need to give it back to Sherry Clark from BCA, and she's going to talk a little bit about the marketing plan and so on and so forth.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Hoping that you all have received your copies of the marketing plan. Good. I have extra ones here if anybody wants to need one.
Where did we go?
Thank you.
There's a list of things there. It just kind of covers that.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So we are happy to present the marketing plan. We presented it to the City Council on the 10th of January. It is a draft, so it's open to edits. We've had a few minor edits that were recommended by the TBID. And, you know, just want to emphasize that the marketing plan has been in effect since July 1st. We did a lot of groundwork for Morro Bay while we were proposing to you, responding to the RFP. A lot of the creative and marketing strategy was instigated at that point and then approved by both boards as we've been moving along in the process. So this is a reflection of our vision for Morro Bay, your vision for Morro Bay, and some of the items that we gleaned from the stakeholders' workshops as far as strategies, objectives, how to market Morro Bay, and our goals. So we feel like this is a blueprint for building on the marketing for Morro Bay. We see definitely we will be doing this every year, and we see it getting more detailed and more strength, more strength to it as we move along. But we do feel, you know, there's been some comments of, well, we're just getting this in January, but we were working concurrently on this as we started working for Morro Bay. So that's basically the context of the plan. As I said, we're definitely open to comments, questions, any edits or revisions that you... and so, as I said, it's a guide. It's much... It goes hand in hand with the budget as well. You're looking at this, and you're also looking at your budget and saying, okay, we've allocated this much to online. We've allocated this much money to attract this particular demographic. So I welcome any of your comments and questions on the marketing plan.
I like to see the boxes that you have on the front page here, as much like we just had our presentation. So you do have some idea of a structure, which is good. I'm glad to see that. I think the plan itself is a very nice document. It looks really well. It's slick. It looks good. And I was happy to hear you say that this was only the beginning, that there would be more coming to it. I also felt that maybe a little more meat, not the particulars, because I think what you were describing was more of a media plan, and I think the media plan should be kept, you know, internal with us, because that would give our competitors a little edge that we might not want them to have. Some of the things I thought about were priorities of the spending, where you thought the most important things would be, and have those listed as that. And as the years go on and you do other marketing plans, as you said, you might be adding more meat to it. But other than that, I think it's a fine document. But there are a lot of things that we could add to it.
Janice? I just have to ask a question. I couldn't find the photo credits anywhere.
Yeah, that's coming.
That was one of the
lot of mine are in there.
Do.
That's a very good question, and the photo credits will be added.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad it's a draft, because otherwise I would be really embarrassed right now. So.
One comment that I had on page 3, imperative to court the 25 to 44-year-old demographic, and then, of course, tied in with promoting our outdoor environment. In my mind, the tourists that brings in is young families, and young families camp. And one of the issues we may be facing is the loss of the North Morro Bay campground, so that would be something that I think it's critical for the city to look at, and I think there are some efforts to look at Cal Poly possibly helping with administering that if we do lose state funding to keep that going. And for those, again, who would be concerned, well, gee, if they're camping, they're not adding to TOT. You know, 25 to 44-year-olds pretty soon turn 50. Important to court that younger demographic, because they become... In our long vision, in 10 to 20 years, you know, the people that keep us going, that come back because they had those childhood experiences. So just a comment.
I would like to make a comment on the graphs on page 7. The top one is retail sales tax, and it's a dark blue. And then you drop down to the next one that compares TOT to sales tax, and you switch colors on us.
That's confusing.
Yeah. The one thing that really pointed out to me in looking at this is we had a half a cent sales tax increase in 07. Doesn't reflect any increase. And I realize we're talking about a broad scope, but I expected there to be some more sales tax in 07 or 08, but to me, I'd keep the colors the same, and if you keep the chart the same, you know, so that you've got the same dollar amount, it would make it a little bit easier for old guys like me to read. You know, and you keep on ensuring the Morro Bay brand. What is our brand? Or am I missing the point someplace?
I think the brand, a lot of wit. The Rock is a huge brand. Everything that you see in any of our advertising, and any time that I talk to either of the boards, The Rock has to be in it. Okay. Because it's
well,
the...
Well, that's what I assumed it was, but I asked some people, and most people say, I don't know. What is our brand? I don't know.
We are trying to strengthen that brand, so we hope that we're making headway there.
On page 13, you talk about the top five marketing strategies, and you mentioned Phoenix. At that meeting, there was one lady that stood up and talked about Arizona, and I didn't realize she swung enough weight to get mentioned in our report. I will say that years ago, when Cal Poly rented their dorms out in the summer, we had busloads of people from Arizona coming here because they could rent for $300 for the whole summer. They quit doing that, and so I would imagine the Arizona, Snow spent money last year to be in that Southwest Airlines or whatever it is magazine that's on the plane. So.
Was Palm Springs considered in there too? I'm trying to remember that discussion, but it seems to me same issue, the heat. And getting them to come up here.
Yeah, Palm Springs did not come up a lot in the mm-hmm. stakeholders. We've looked at Palm Springs for a variety of different reasons, some of their how they're actually organizing their tourism. If people come from, I know a lot of people from here go to Palm Springs
to
get out of the cold weather. So it has not been addressed. It's probably something that should be looked at mm-hmm. a little bit more in depth.
Just a question, overall marketing objectives increased TOT by 3%. Is that sort of seems low to me, but is it so that when it's higher, we all pat ourselves on the back? I mean, is 3% a reasonable objective, do you think, in the economy?
I think it definitely nods its head to the current economic, I think if things get really good in 2012 and we put out the new marketing plan and we're super optimistic, we'll go higher. But I think we had to really do some research on what has happened the last few years since the economy took a downturn. And so it is conservative, but I think it's pretty realistic. And obviously we want it to go way, way over our objective.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? I think this was really a nice job, Sherry. Thank you.
Chair Stewart?
Yes.
Could we have a motion to approve the marketing plan?
Ah, we could.
With the edits.
Anybody want to make a motion to approve the draft marketing plan from our advertising agency?
Got a right. I will make that motion.
Any second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any of you? Oh, discussion? Sorry.
I have one question, just for a matter of discussion. This is a draft, as you say, so are you planning on republishing this once again?
Yes. Yes, we are. We have a few edits. I want to make the edit that Bill had mentioned about the color coding, because I think that's important. And there were just a couple of minor...
Picture credits.
The photo credits and a couple of minor edits from the T-bid. There was a typo or something. So, we will be reissuing.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
The two workshops, but I understand at the first workshop there was the decision already made. We need somebody, and I can see that we need somebody, maybe. But to me, every time I've hired somebody, I wanted to know if I had the money to hire them. And I just think we've gotten the cart ahead of the horse.
Well, and I think if you look at the flow chart in the marketing plan, it is simple and it is straightforward. And
I don't think that it's as complicated of a system currently as it's been made out to be. And I think I can't help but point out all the statistics we just saw about how effective our marketing plan has been from December of last year to December of this year, how everything's up as far as visitors looking at thing, you know, at our website, our marketing materials seem to be, you know, more effective, gaining more traction.
Things seem to be positive,
in my opinion.
We have a structure much like, it's a streamlined structure, much like was presented today, a little different, obviously, but I think the agency has taken into consideration the fact that we do need a structure, and the first thing they do is show us what that structure is. Now, it can be revised, it can be changed, obviously, but I think they're mindful, and what you're saying is true, that they're following this particular structure, and it seems to be working. So whether we need to change or not, that's another whole other discussion. But right now, I think we have it.
So we'll, when we get together for our special meeting, we'll probably get into that more. Discussion of new ideas. Everybody's quiet because they want
to. I would really like to revisit the idea of the meeting time change. I notice it's 10:10 right now. We've already lost one member. Other people have been packing up. I know I'm much past my time that I prefer to be at work right now. In the event that we have two-hour meetings or more in the future, now we're going to be into the close to 11 o'clock. This just isn't convenient to get good representation on this board to have meetings drag into the afternoon.
All right. Can we re-agendize that?
Yes, you may. Your next meeting will be, though, at 8:30, and then certainly
right.
on that agenda we'll put this item.
Okay. And next month, I believe we need to appoint a chair and vice chair, second person. So that would be on the agenda as well.
Is our next meeting going to start at 8:30?
8:30, yes.
8:30.
Okay.